This is an amazing study, this shepherd-sheep relationship, and is a perfect parallel to us and the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd or his sheep. It's no accident or coincidence that God compares Christians to sheep. There's a lot of similarities, and I'll show you some of them tonight. The shepherd and his sheep. Only for the man who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," this psalm was written. He's the creator of the universe, yet he's my shepherd. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, but yet he's my shepherd. Now, David here, who wrote this psalm, was a shepherd. He was a shepherd over a flock of sheep. And he got to looking up there one night, laying out there on the hillside, while his sheep was maybe all going to sleep. And he saw all them millions of stars up there, 250 million times 250 million, they say. I couldn't prove it, and they couldn't either. But he got to looking at all them stars up there, and he said, "You know what? Just like I'm looking after that sheep, the Lord is looking after me. The Lord is my shepherd. I am one of his sheep." And he began to think about that. And he began to write this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Years ago, I read that book, long time ago. It's been 30 years ago, by Philip Keller. If you've never seen that book, you probably, I don't even know if you can get it now, but probably online or something. But it's a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. I would highly recommend that to everybody in here to read. One of the most amazing little books, about that thick, and it takes each one of these verses and breaks them down. And that's what I'd like to do tonight, very, very briefly. One time I preached on these six verses every Sunday night, one each for six Sunday nights in a row. Tonight, I just want to hit the high spots and give them to you. So he said this. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Number one, you know, when that happens, "Beneath me are the green pastures." That's what he said. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Pastures. So beneath me in the Lord's flock this evening is green pastures. Now what does that represent? That represents that the long green grass of the Word of God. Big, high, thick green grass. The sheep wasn't biting rocks. They wasn't biting dirt. They was getting all grass, food as they ate. He said, "Boy, the Lord's my shepherd, and I get to graze in that big, tall, fine green grass." What a blessing. He said, "Beneath me are green pastures. Don't have to worry about rocks being in it." And he said, "He maketh me to lie down in it." In other words, David said, "I'm full, I'm satisfied, I'm just going to lie down in this green pasture." Now, in this study that I made, it said there are four requirements that a sheep must have before it'll lay down. If you were a herdsman and had a flock of sheep, I've never been around sheep that much personally, but I've read a lot because the Bible says so much about it. So he said this. They said before a sheep can lay down, four things must happen. For it said they must be free from fear. As long as a sheep is scared, they will not lay down. They're very timid animals. They're jumpy, jittery, sort of. And as long as they're scared, they'll just stand around and look around like that. A sheep ain't going to lay down when it's scared. It won't rest. And it must be free from fear. They panic very easy. Matter of fact, somebody said that a jackrabbit can jump up and scare a sheep, and one behind him will get scared, and one behind him will get scared, and the whole flock sometimes will go into panic mode just over a jackrabbit that couldn't hurt none of them. I heard that and I thought, Lord, that is so much like a church. That is so much like sheep at our church and other churches I've been in. One old jackrabbit can jump up and cause trouble, and the whole flock sometimes will panic. Isn't that the way we are? And it said before we can lay down and rest. Listen, a church can't be what a church ought to be if we're scared if we're afraid, are we going to make it as God left us, or what we're going to have, what's going to happen, what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen. You know what? Old David looked up and he said, them sheep lay down in that green grass and they ain't afraid of nothing in this world. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how me and you ought to be. We ought to just trust God. He's able to take care of us and just rest in Him and not be afraid. And then he said, before a sheep will lay down, it said they were afraid, and nothing will calm a sheep's fear like a glimpse of the shepherd. Isn't that something? Did you hear what I said? I said, nothing will calm a sheep's fear like getting a glimpse of that shepherd. For example, if a bunch of sheep are over here, now I'm going to be a sheep tonight, so they're out here like this, and they're scared. There's a wolf. There's a jackrabbit. Are we going to die? Are we going to die? And they look around, and they see that shepherd. And that shepherd's standing up there with that staff like that. He's ready to knock that wolf in the head. He's able to take care of it. He oversees the whole situation. And that sheep said, everything's all right. There's the shepherd. I'm just going to lay down and rest. Now, I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you know what our church needs? You know what our church needs? You know what every church needs? I preach in a lot of different churches. They all need the same thing. When we get scared and we get worried, what are we going to do and how are we going to make it and all that? Just one glimpse of the shepherd standing up there with his staff. He said, you're going to be all right. The shepherd's still looking. He's still on the scene. And I'm glad, brother, we don't have to be free from fear. Or we are free from fear. Not only that, they're free from friction. Sheep won't lay down until they're free from friction. What does that mean? That means sheep are always butting heads with each other. Sound like anybody you know? And always getting mad and aggravating each other. And they can't lay down until they quit butting heads with each other. They're not getting along. They lose it. They lose it, brother. They lose it. They get irritable. Amen? And a sheep does like that, and one sheep punts another one, and they hit each other with their heads and butt heads like them, butt heads like that. And when I read that, I think, Lord have mercy. If you've ever pastored a church, if you've ever been around Christians long enough, we butt heads all the time. And we ain't going to lay down and rest if we're butting heads with each other. If there's somebody in here you're butting heads with, you know what you need to do? If there's somebody in here you're irritated with or mad at, tell you what y'all do. You ought to get up here this evening and go to the altar and say, let's look at that shepherd. And once again, one glimpse of the shepherd will fix it all. If husband and wife are having friction with each other, a glimpse of the shepherd will help you forgive each other, start all over again, be nice to each other. I said, start all over again, be nice to each other. Come on. I said, start all over again. Ladies and gentlemen, husbands and wife, be nice to each other. God keeps forgiving you. You keep forgiving them. And free from friction. They ain't going to get along if they're fussing and fighting all the time. And then sheep won't lay down until they're free from torment. Torment. And torment. What's that? Torment. Sheep get tormented. You know what happens to sheep? This sounds a little awful, but you're a sheep, man. You're out there in the Middle East and over there. Judea and Samaria, somewhere out in the desert, and then there's tight table lands and grass, and down there in the rivers and stuff, and the sheep, there's bugs out there, insects, and they say that there's nasal flies, big nasal flies that go up in their nose, and they go up there and lay eggs way up in there like this. And boy, you know what? Them things hatch out. Can you imagine? I mean, have you ever seen a sheep? You ever seen a sheep sitting up there? That's what he's doing. He's going crazy. These nasal flies hatched out in his nose. And a bunch of flies hatched out in there. And they say they'll hit their head on a fence post. They'll do anything. I mean, a sheep, think about it. They can't do like me and you. If I had nasal flies this evening, I'd take my little finger and dig them out. But a sheep, they got a hoof. I mean, you can't hoof, you know.
You take a little hoof like that, and you're trying to get them nasal flies out of there. So I mean, can you imagine? I mean, getting on a fence post and just butting your nose on there. Torture. You can't lay down with nasal flies in your nose. Lord have mercy. That's awful. Oh, by the way, you know how he gets rid of them things? I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but they said the shepherd will take that sheep and take some oil and pour it in there, and he'll go in there and get rid of them things. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's the way you get rid of that. You know how you get rid of stuff that bugs you? You know how you get rid of that stuff being aggravated at work and on the job and with your mom and all that? Let the Lord pour that oil in there and anoint that head with oil, and you won't be so daggone hard to get along with and so grouchy and hateful all the time. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, they are free from friction in order to lay down. And then one more thing. They are free from hunger. A hungry sheep won't lay down. They gotta be full. If they're hungry, they just go looking. I crawl over here, climb up here on this rock, over here trying to eat them leaves, over here trying to nibble. But buddy, when they get full and they ain't scared and they're getting along with each other and all that, they can lay right down there and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Beneath me are the green pastures. You know what I desire for Shining Light Baptist Church? I desire for this church for us to be full on the Word of God, to be fed good from that book right there, and to be free from friction, and to be free from fear. And brother, when we come in here, raise them hands and say, I never shall forget the day when all my burdens from my soul were rolled away, and we can just lay down in green pastures. Amen. Number two, with me is my shepherd. With me is my shepherd. Now, this ain't too flattering, but they say a sheep is the dumbest animal for its size in the world. In other words, a sheep's brain, as for the size of its body, is a stupid, really dumb animal. And God, all the way through the Bible, compares us to sheep. Sheep are dumb. I mean, their brain is tiny. And buddy, without the shepherd, they are absolute. I mean, set a sheep out there in the woods and see how long it'll survive. Without a shepherd, can't do it. Can't do it. It's a dumb animal. It has no sense of direction. You can take a dog and take him down there in Hickory, smart, and let him out, and they'll find their way back home. Dogs have been known to find their way home hundreds and hundreds of miles. You've heard these stories about dogs that got lost and an unbelievable sense of direction that a dog has. But you take a sheep, cross the road over there, and they couldn't get back over here to this church. They're dumb. And me and you, I hate to say this, but we're the same way. And don't we do some dumb things? Amen, people. Hadn't you done some mighty dumb thing? I have. Lord, I think how dumb I am sometimes. Sometimes you get mad at yourself. How could I be that stupid? Well, it's because we're His sheep. And brother, but I'm glad the shepherd is with us. He never leaves you. Now, the Lord, when you got saved, He made you a promise. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That means God's still with you tonight and He's still with me. You say, well, what if I forsake Him? It's hard to fake somebody that won't forsake you. You can't get away from Him. He'll be right there waiting on you. He'll be right there with you. I remember, I'll tell one about Krista since she had a shower this evening. One time when she was real little, she's about 3 or 4 years old, and it was come a big snow. I mean, it snowed about like it did last week. We had about 6 or 8 inches of snow, and that was the first snow that she remembered. You know that first 3 years old when they actually can enjoy it, get out and play in it, and everything. And boy, they played in it, and they played in it till the ice froze to death. And I said, y'all got to go to bed. And they went to bed, and the next morning she got up and looked out the window, and she said, Carrie, it's still here. And she, somehow or another, she thought, maybe we'll wake up and all that snow's going to be gone. Now, it's still here. And I thought, you know, that's how many times have I done that? You've been through a dark time, you've been through a night time in your life, and you look up and say, well, the Lord, He's still here. He's still here. Now, I want to say tonight, hallelujah, through all the dangers, through all the toils, through all the snares, through all the battles, through all the problems, through all the doubt, through all the fear, hallelujah, people, He's still here. Glory to God. You You say, I don't feel Him. He's here anyway. You say, well, I've been a long time since I felt God. That don't matter. The shepherd's here. Number three, before me is a table. Now, sheep move around a lot, and they move toward higher ground, especially in the summer. They're called outlands or tablelands. The old song said, a higher plain than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's what they did. The shepherd would say, all right, summer, let's go up to higher ground. And he'd lead that flock of sheep, and they would go up to Mesa, that tableland, big, up the top of one of them big old hills over there. And there would be he said, before me is a table. Amen. Before me is a table. The shepherd would have his workers, and the shepherd would go ahead of the sheep and pull out the briars and pull out the poisonous weeds and pull out, make sure there wasn't no snakes and stuff like that around that would kill them, and go ahead of them and prepare. He went away, he prepares a table before us. And he said, before me is a table. I can sit down and eat at the Lord's table. Thank God. I'm glad that I can. I've been feasting. I'm telling you, I've been feasting on the Word of God this year. This is January the 15th, and buddy, I'm telling you, I'm right on target in my Bible reading. I've been feasting on it every day. He goes before me and prepares a way. He ain't going to ask us to go somewhere He ain't already been. He goes before us. He's not going to ask you to do something He wouldn't do for you and get ahead of you. He's already got the way made before you. Before you get there, before you get up tomorrow morning, He's already got your problems under control in His hand. Your life is in Him. He's got a hold of you. Nobody can pluck you out of His hand. Glory to God, brother. I'm telling you, He has us a table. Table. How many times has that happened to you? Around me are my enemies. He prepares me a table in the presence of mine enemies. You know, when you think about it this evening, that's sort of like what we're doing here tonight. There's enemies of the Lord and the Bible all around this church tonight. There are people in Burke County that would shut me up tonight where I could never say another word if they had their way about it. There are people in North Carolina would kill me tonight for what I'm saying, and you too, just because of what you believe. But isn't it a blessing how the Lord prepared us a table right here in the presence of our enemies, seeing all around us, and we can come in here, put our feet up under the table, open this book, and eat till our heart's content, and feed off the Word of God. Brother, you know why? It's a table in the presence of mine enemies. You can see the merciless attacks of Satan on our society. You can see how the devil... You see, I visited somebody not long ago. This lady came to the door, and she had little spots all over her legs where she'd done so much drugs. And on her hands, her face, and big old sores that come out. And I think, there's what the devil will do to his sheep. There's what the devil will do to you. We see some old boy laying in the ditch drunk. There's what the devil. I place him on the highway. I was just sitting out there. And say, that's what the devil do. But look in here. Look in here at these old fat fed sheep in here tonight. Amen. Ain't God been good? I'm talking about spiritually. Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you, brother, I tell you, we're well fed. We're well fed on the King James Bible and feed every day on the Word of God. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He prepares us a table in the presence of our enemies. Number six, behind me follows goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I've heard old preachers say it like this. Bible don't say it. I've heard old preachers say, got two angels back there. One's named Goodness, the other's named Mercy. And they follow me everywhere I go. I don't know if that's right, but it does say goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, there's a reason that He said that about sheep. You know why He said that about sheep? Because sheep are a very, very prosperous animal for the land. Now, if they're left alone, they'll ruin it. Because sheep will eat just about anything that grows. They'll ruin a piece of land if you leave it there all the time. They got to move, eat over here, eat over there, eat over here, eat over there, eat over there. But they call them golden hooves. And the reason they call them golden hooves is because where sheep been, their manure, their waste, is very, very good fertilized. And they say where there's been a flock of sheep, they fertilize that ground, and they move on over here to another pasture, and the next year that will be bigger and greener than it's ever been before. They don't ruin it. They don't mess it up. They leave a big green field behind them, goodness and mercy. And did you know a real Christian? Are you listening to me tonight? A real Christian has goodness and mercy following him. He leaves a trail of this thing and that thing. When I'm gone, if I ever go, when I'm gone, I want people to say, look, old Danny left a trail of stuff, of ministries, of missionaries. Where I've been, I want the field to flourish. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it should be. That I know preachers, and I have nobody in mind when I say this, but I've met them down through the years, that have pastored 8 or 10 churches. And I talked to somebody, and they say, Brother Danny, when that fella come here, we had 100 people, and it wasn't long we had a big fuss that went to 50, and it wasn't long we had another fuss that went to 25, and it wasn't long he'd done start a building program and got us in debt, and then he left. And then he went to another church, and it went from 100 to 25, and got them in debt, and then he left. And one, I've had several say he took all the money he could off of the church when he did leave. That's not the right kind of sheep, people. That's not a shepherd. That's not a sheep. That's not the right kind. He left a mess. You don't leave a church in a mess like that. Goodness and mercy is supposed to follow us all the days of life. Listen, something ever happens to me, don't get some jackleg in here that can just get up and preach a good sermon. Anybody can just preach one good sermon. You look at where that man was before. You look at what he done in the last where he was. Look, I mean, if you're going to hire somebody, if you're going to do anything, look what he done before. If he wasn't no good over there, he ain't going to do no good over here. I'm telling you this evening, there's a lot of what we call hirelings out there just going from one church to another, mooching off of them, and instead ought to be building them and leading them in the right paths of righteousness. Goodness and mercy. Behind you ought to be something worthwhile. When you leave, your family ought to say, Mama taught us this. Daddy always said this. I learned this from Papaw. I learned this from Mamaw. I learned this from her. They ought to remember you. Goodness and mercy. Last thing, I'm through. Ahead of me is the house of the Lord. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo! Hallelujah. Can't beat that, can you? Can't beat laying down here in green pastures, eating, you get your soul full, shouting along the way, being fed, being took care of. Behind you, goodness and mercy, and up ahead's the house of the Lord. And we'll be there forever and forever. No desire to change. Nothing better than this outfit. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, our thoughts, our green grass, our picture, our table, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't nothing no better than serving God and being one of God's sheep. I told you this morning about Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway won the Nobel Prize for literature, and he was a wicked, wicked man, but he was rich and had anything a man could want. Wound up losing all hope and committing suicide. That's one of the devil's. That's what the devil will do for you. But you know what God's sheep can say? It starts out little, and it gets bigger and brighter and bigger and brighter. And when you leave, that ain't the end of it. You're just graduating on into glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's what made this little girl get up one time. She said, the Lord's my shepherd. That's all I want. And she had it wrong, but she had it right. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. Can I encourage you tonight? Don't go looking for something else. Don't. I seen somebody sent it to me or something. I seen on YouTube this preacher had pastored a church for years, and he figured out the Bible wasn't true, and he told his congregation, he said, "I'm just going to be honest with you. It ain't true. None of them people ever existed, and there ain't one story in the Bible true. It's all a bunch of junk. Let's face reality, people." And I thought, that poor nut. I don't think a man like that probably wasn't even saved. Because, buddy, I tell you, Jason said a while ago, if you ever get saved, I mean really, really get saved, there's something down in you that I can't deny what happened to me that night. I cannot deny. I mean, something happened to me the night I got saved, people. Something happened to me. And I'm telling you, I've been one of the Lord's sheep ever. And I couldn't deny Him, like that song they sang. And I can't deny Him. I'll always walk beside Him. I was born to serve the Lord. And the Lord's my shepherd. Have you been thinking about jumping ship or just saying, I'm just going to give this stuff up. I'm going to quit church. You hang in there. The Lord's your shepherd. He ain't going to leave you. He ain't going to leave you. He ain't going to forsake you. Get up here tonight and just say, Lord, I'm sorry for doubting you. I'm sorry for letting my thoughts or my life go astray. Lord, I want to be your sheep and you be my shepherd. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. She's playing softly tonight. We'll take just a minute and pray a little bit here this evening. We'll take just a minute and